mine eyes that I may see.
Talk about faith for healing. Faith for healing. How much faith does it take to be healed by God? How much faith does it really take? And why does Jesus heal, or he seems to heal some people and then some not others? Why is that? We all know people who have been miraculously healed, and yet we also know people who battle illness for years and they never seem to get any better. Is it just by sheer fate that this one gets healed and this one doesn't? And how do we define healing? How do we define that? Well, there's a story in the Bible that might help. It's about a woman who had been battling an illness for 12 years, and no matter what she tried to do, nothing seemed to work. And so look with me, beginning in Luke 8 and verse 43. It says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, 'Who was it that touched me?' When all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Father, would you bless the reading of your word, and will you help us to have understanding today? Would you help us to shut out distractions and listen for your voice to speak to us, God? Help us today to have listening ears and open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it can be quite discouraging and depressing to be sick for a long period of time. A lot of us in here know something about that, don't we? It's either been us or it's been a family member. And it seems like they go on this roller coaster. For a while, you have hope, and then your hope gets crushed by a bad report from a doctor. And after all this roller coaster of ups and downs, you finally settle on the downside. And that's what has happened here with this woman that we just read about in the book of Luke. For years, 12 to be exact, she was battling this illness. And Luke said she'd spent all of her living on physicians. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's very expensive to be sick. Anything medically related is going to be expensive. We've got to have it, but it's not cheap. Especially if the illness is ongoing, like this woman. Where does one turn? After many years of illness, she had exhausted her medical resources and her finances, and then she heard about a man named Jesus. That's the right one, isn't it? She heard about a man named Jesus. And for this woman, Jesus was her last hope. But I want to tell you this morning, Jesus should be your first hope, right? He's our first hope. As believers, Jesus is always our first resource. We find in the Bible where he uses a lot of things. He uses earthly things and people. Sometimes he even uses people that don't even know him. But Jesus should always be our first resource. So, based on that, let me ask you a question. Are you a believer? Have you been saved? Then Jesus is your first line of defense when we come up on hard times. Amen? Jesus is our first line of defense. Whether it's an illness like this woman, or it's a job loss, or it's a financial disaster, Maybe it's a storm that's come through and destroyed your possessions. There's been a death in the family, or there's trouble with a family member or a friend, or it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be. You fill in the blank. Jesus is your number one person to go to, right? Amen. If you're a Christian, Jesus should be your first thought and not your last hope when hard times hit. Now, for the lady in our story, she'd already tried everything else. No one could heal her. She'd been to this doctor and that doctor and this clinic and that clinic. And you know how it goes, here and there. Nobody seems to have an answer for her problem. And maybe it was a close friend or family member that told her about Jesus. You know, that's the best thing we can do to somebody that's down, right? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. This man, Jesus, had performed miracles, and he had healed many, and he has the power of God on him and the Spirit of God in him. Matter of fact, he's God's son, right? Lady, what you need to do, you need to go see Jesus. You need to go see Jesus. So she started thinking, well, how can I do this? How can I get to Jesus? Jesus is a popular guy, isn't he? Very popular. And he's always got a crowd of people around him. How will I ever get close enough so he can hear me ask him for some help and let him hear my story and give me a chance to explain my story? How am I ever going to get close enough? And then her faith began to build. You know, I just know Jesus can heal me. I just know he can if he wants to. If I could just get close enough to touch him, I could be healed. She could just see that in her mind already, couldn't she? If I could just get close enough, even if it's just enough, as we say, to touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. So she headed out to find Jesus. And when she found him, just as suspected, there was a large crowd around him, and she began to push her way through the crowd. Excuse me, pardon me, coming through. I've got to get to Jesus. And finally, there he was. Can you imagine that? There he is. And so she stretched out her hand, and she just barely touches the hem of his clothing. And just like that, immediately, after years of suffering, after years of going everywhere else to try to find the answer, praise God, she was healed, right? She was healed. That's exciting news, isn't it? You say, well, she must have had a lot of faith. Not necessarily. I don't think she had great faith, do you? If she had great faith, it didn't take long to develop, did it? Didn't take very long for that faith to build up. And some of us have been sitting on the church pew for years and don't have that much faith, right? Well, you know, elsewhere Jesus said you have faith as a mustard seed, right? Mustard seed faith, just a little bit of faith. But she also had this desire to get close to Jesus. She wanted to get close to Jesus. You know, many Christians never experience anything from Jesus because we never get close enough to him. Many of us live, or we don't live, a spirit-filled life. Some of us don't even know what that is, because we're not close to Jesus. We're saved, but it's like we're following Jesus from afar, from the back seat of the Baptist church. No offense to you guys back there, unless the shoe fits, right? Healing is needed. Healing is needed. We need healing in our bodies. And we need spiritual healing. And our town, Lexington, Mississippi, needs healing, right? And our communities need healing. And Jesus has healing power, doesn't he? He has healing power. He doesn't always heal like we think he does. He should. We've all got our ideas of how Jesus ought to operate, right? What he ought to do. But doesn't he always know best? Of course he does. What you and I need to start doing when it comes to physical healing, or whether it comes to spiritual healing, or whether it comes for community healing, we need to start believing God, don't we? We've got to start believing God. We can't stand up on our hind legs, like they say, and come up with different ideas about how we can stop this and stop that in our community, or just gripe and complain about stuff that's going on. We must believe God, right? We've got to believe God. If we can't believe God, who can we believe? We need to believe Jesus. Amen? We call ourselves Christians, don't we? We're in church every week, aren't we? We are children of God, aren't we? Then why don't we start believing God, right? This woman believed if she could just get close to Jesus, she could be healed. Healing would take place. And just as immediately as she got close to Jesus and touched his garment, she was healed, right? Healed. And just as immediately, Jesus sensed that power had gone out from him. He asked who touched him. And no one confessed. Must have been a bunch of Baptists, right? No one said nothing. Peter thought that was kind of a strange thing to ask, though. You know, you read the other accounts in the scripture, and Jesus said, it's like, Lord, why in the world would you ask who touched you? There's people all around you. There's people crowding in to you. There must be a dozen hands touching you. How can you know? Why would you ask such a question? But the touch Jesus was talking about was not just someone walking up and just patting him on the shoulder, slapping him on the back or something, one of those kind of things, was it? The touch Jesus felt was the touch of belief, right? The touch Jesus felt was the touch that depended on him and was desperate for him. That was the touch that he felt. That's the touch that his power went out and took care of her need. That's what we need to do, right? We need to get close enough to Jesus to touch him like that. Oh, I want to touch Jesus, don't you? I want to pray and I want to believe God and I want to touch Jesus for what I've got to have, right? Desperate for Jesus. Now, I don't think for a minute that Jesus asked that question because he didn't know who touched him, right? He knew who touched him. He knew why she touched him. But it's apparent that he wanted everybody else to know why she touched him, right? He wanted to show everybody around there what true faith is. It's not just about hanging out with the Jesus crowd, right? It's not about just hanging. Are you listening to me this morning? It's not about hanging out with the crowd, right? It is belief and confidence in the person of Jesus. She touched him. And the power of God flowed into her situation and brought about healing. So what we've got to do is believe in the power of Jesus this morning, right? We've got to pull it on. Put it on. Believe. Now, verse 47 tells us that the woman you know, she really didn't want anybody to notice her, right? Do you see that? She really wanted to just kind of slip in there, touch Jesus, get what she needed, and get back out, and without anybody noticing. But after Jesus called out, she was busted, right? Busted. She fell before him and declared in the presence of all the people why she touched Jesus, and the fact that she had been immediately healed. The moment she touched Jesus, she was healed. So she confessed that to everybody. You know, that's another problem with us, isn't it? We try to slip in and slip out. Slip in, get us a little Jesus, and slip back out. Amen? We don't want nobody to notice us. Let's just ease in and ease out. Let's do our church thing and ease out. Let's don't let nobody notice. Let's don't let anybody know that we belong to Jesus, right? Let's just keep it quiet. But I'm going to tell you, if you've really been touched by Jesus, you can't keep your mouth shut, right? I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. Keith, who healed you? The Lord Jesus healed me. And more importantly than my physical body, He healed my soul. He healed my soul. Now I'll go back to the questions at the beginning. How much faith does it take to be healed by God? It doesn't take great faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. And it's not a long time faith either, is it? Not a long time, just a little. Why does Jesus heal some and not others? Well, I don't know. That's the truth, isn't it? I don't know. That's, as they say, that's above my pay grade. I don't know that. That's a question that only God knows. What we must do is choose to believe God knows best, right? And that God's going to do the right thing every single time. You don't think God's going to do the wrong thing, do you? Physical healing is possible, but it's not promised, is it? And like I said, how do you define healing? Well, somebody who's sick may define healing as, I don't have to take that medicine anymore, and I can do without this and that, and I've progressed, and therefore healing is taking place, right? You know, God has given us a lot of good technology these days, hadn't He? About medical healing. I'm just amazed at the things that goes on. My daughter told me about, I think they've done 3 or 4 transplants this past week at University Hospital, heart transplants. I had no idea all that was going on. I knew it was going on, but not that many. And she's talking about things about the process and all that stuff. She said, "You want to see a picture?" No. No, I don't want to see a picture. Oh, come on. Okay. But see, I was about to eat dinner in a little bit, and I thought, I don't know. Look at somebody's heart. But it's quite fascinating. Do you know when they remove a human heart and just put it over here, it continues to beat for a little while on its own? And I was just amazed. And I told her, I said, you know what? That didn't just happen, did it? That is proof positive that we have a Creator. Amen? God created that heart. God created your heart. God created you. Isn't it wonderful? But aren't you glad God has given us the know-how to have these things? Healing, physical healing's possible. It's not promised. Healing for our families is needed, right? Healing for our town and community is desperately needed. Healing for our nation is needed, right? Well, what do? Well, Christians need to start believing Jesus, don't they? God's people need to start believing Him. Spiritual healing is possible, and that comes with a promise, though, doesn't it? Jesus has promised that all those who believe on Him and they put their faith and trust in Him, that person will be spiritually healed by the forgiveness of their sins and saved and promised eternal life, right? That spiritual healing comes with a promise. Are you ready to start believing God today? Are you ready to start believing Him and kick all that other trash to the side and start believing God? I want to invite you to do that this morning. Amen.